The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Now, many of you are well aware, and we hope that you've experienced the love of God in this place this morning, but it is Valentine's Day, and just a heads up for what I'm about to do. For those of you who are husbands, and for those of you who are single in the room today, what I want you to do is to turn to the person next to you and just say, I love you. Oh, there's a little bit of love in the house this morning. It's good. I don't think we say it enough, right? We need to say it more. It's good. Well, church, my privilege to bring a few thoughts around Psalm 23 in a moment, but just want to do a really quick talking church segment and give you a bit of an update on where we're at on our block development, and want to fly through this because this is not the most important thing I want to say this morning. Firstly, you might have seen the cones or the witches' hats, you know, the fluoro kind of, you can shout in them and they make a big noise. Well, they're out, and they're basically to mark out the footprint of this massive aged care facility that's going to be built on our property, on our church property. Now, a couple of things that I need to say. It is going to be big, okay? I said it last week, I'm going to say it again. It's going to be big, and I'm saying that it's going to be big because you need to be aware of that. I've sort of zoomed in a little bit there. You can see the church entry on your right, and you can see this facility. It's also going to have a lay-down area, and if you're not really into the sort of business terms, lay-down areas where site officers go, where they put, you know, trucks back in and they put materials on the ground, all that sort of thing. That's going to be quite significant as well. It's going to be dusty. Our entry to our church car park might get dug up, so we might have to drive through a bit of gravel. There might be a bit of dust around. And guess what? You might actually lose your car park if you park up there. But you know what? I said to you before, it's going to be big. And I don't want you to see, oh, gee, that's a big building. I want you to see all of the big kingdom opportunities that are going to be right on our doorstep. Can you do that with me? Let's see this as something awesome. Let's see the 99 older men and women that are going to be in this facility. Let's see all the people that are going to work there. Let's see all their families. And let's pray and be praying that we can impact them with our mission, that we can help them find and follow Jesus. So it's going to be exciting, hey? I want to thank you for praying. We've been going through a lot of paper trails trying to get the transfer of land through. We weren't certain whether we were going to be paying stamp duty, but we praise God that that went through and we don't have to pay a cent. So we're pretty excited about that. So thank you for praying. Yeah, we can thank God for that. So keep praying. This is the guys hope to be on site in the next couple of weeks, and you're going to start seeing our block, one of the many stages of our block development starting, which is going to be exciting. Also, on the bottom floor of this facility, we get 250 square metres, and we're not exactly sure what we're going to do with that. We're believing that it's going to be a medical healthcare type centre that is going to reach out to the poor and marginalised in our community. We're super excited about it. I'm not going to be able to do it by myself. The team needs you, and we're going to be praying. And late last year we had about 30 people come because they're interested in being a part. I'm going to be coming around and touching people on the shoulders soon and saying, hey, need you to step up, need you to see the potential of this great outreach opportunity, and I want you to be on the team. I want you to get on the bus and help us see this become a reality. So please be praying about that, and please be prepared for maybe a tap on the shoulder. Also, if you want to know more, there's a little table in the foyer. Please speak to Malcolm Cowell. Please speak to one of our servant leaders, Ron Hunt, Eric Kiley. They'd love to answer any questions you might have. So that's Talking Church. Now we need to get into our message this morning. Today I have the incredible privilege of being able to finish up our summer series. This summer series has been entitled Our Old Testament Favorites. And I've given scope to all of our preachers just to bring something from the Old Testament that's going to encourage and bring and give us life. This week I felt led to share a few thoughts out of Psalm 23. Now, Psalm 23 is certainly one of the most loved and probably one of the most widely known psalms, because it contains arguably some of the most recognizable verses in all of Scripture. You hear these verses mostly where? At funerals. Psalm 23 is your classic funeral type, the scriptures that are used at a funeral. And it's appropriate to be used at a funeral, because they're words that are used to comfort and to help those who are in enduring pain and loss. But this morning, we're not in a funeral, okay? I want us to look at this verse with where we are currently at, through the lenses that we've currently got on. And I believe that the Spirit wants to remind us of some phenomenal truths this morning. He wants to remind us of some incredibly powerful truths that are contained in these verses. I believe the Spirit wants to speak life into you as you face whatever might currently be on your horizon. But before we jump into this psalm, I feel like I want to share a little bit of my heart. I want us to have a bit of a heart-to-heart, because I've got a few concerns. I'm sure you have a few concerns as well, and we'll talk about that in a moment. And I don't want anyone to feel guilty. I don't want anyone to feel bashed up. But I just want to put a few things out there. A few things out there in the hope that as we face next weekend here at Life Streams is our vision weekend, our Vision Sunday. The week after that is our mission, our C2C Mission Sunday. And what I'm hoping is that we can leave some stuff behind today as we face a new year, as we face an exciting prospect of 2016. So please don't feel bashed up. I hope you can hear my heart as I share a few of my concerns this morning. So church, I'm concerned. I'm a little concerned with aspects of our church culture. Now, unfortunately, I don't have a whole heap of time to be able to unpack all of that. But I'm pretty sure that if I was to ask you, what are some things that when you look at Life Streams, when you look at us, what are some things that you're just not into, you just don't like? I'm sure that you could answer that really easily. I want you to know, over the next period of time, we're going to be trying to address some of this culture stuff. The culture stuff that is specifically holding us back from becoming all that God wants us to be. So I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned with our finances. Now, you know, we're praying a lot about this. There's a lot of faith around this. And the reality is that business, and we prayed for the business sector today. People are losing their jobs left, right, and center. And a lot of businesses aren't making money. And you know what? That has a flow-on effect. It has a flow-on effect on how much you can give, how generous you can be. It has a flow-on effect in our community. It hits our church. I'm a little concerned with where our finances are at. Please hear my heart. I don't want to bash anyone. I'm also concerned with the fact that for as long as I can remember, and I got saved here as a 15-year-old, I've been here now for 26 years. And as I look at kind of what we've been doing and who we are over those last 26 years, and looked at our numbers on a Sunday, and please don't hear the number thing, okay? Please don't hear... I don't want you to say to me it's not about numbers. I know that. I know it's not about numbers. But for the last 26 years, we just sail along at about 500. 500 people, just we cruise along. And because of where we're at financially, I went back and had a look at our numbers over the last 4 to 5 years, and I was thinking maybe we're in decline. And maybe that's affecting our finances. Well, church, guess what? 500. 500. And I think over the years, we peaked up to 700 and around that mark. And you know what? It concerns me. It concerns me that We just can't grow past that. During the week, a couple of weeks ago, I had a conversation with someone and they said these words, life streams will never change. And when I heard that, I was like, it grieved me. What's with that? What's holding us back? Why can't we bust through that ceiling? And again, you know, it's not about numbers. I know it's not about numbers. I have a horticultural background, and I know there's a simple truth in the horticultural world, and that is healthy things grow, right? Healthy things grow. So I know it's not about numbers. You know, the leadership here longs for this place to be filled with new disciples. The leadership in this place doesn't want to be a mega church, doesn't want to be 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, because we believe that God's called us to be a church planting church. But you know what? Healthy things grow. I'm concerned at the moment with what some of you are carrying. You know, some of you are carrying some pretty full-on stuff. And I long for the day that you are set free from some of that stuff. You know, I sit down with some of you, I hear your stories, and I have to admit, I often don't know what to say. I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to do. You know, most of you are well aware, and this is not about me, but most of you are well aware that I'm just an ordinary Aussie bloke. I grew up in Kewdale, and I failed TE English. Most of you in this room, you're smarter than me. You're way more eloquent than me. And many of you are way better looking too. Notice how I said many. You know your Bibles, and when I give you a verse or I try to encourage you to get on your knees, to get in the river, to get before the Father, I know that some of you think, you hypocrite. And you know what? There's some truth to that. Just ask my wife. Just ask the people that are most close to me. I'm on a journey, just like you. Or you think, you know, that's just a pat answer. Or you're paid to say that. And you even think to yourself, you know what, I've tried that. I've tried all of that, what you've just said. But it hasn't done anything. It does not work. You know, we're so complex, aren't we? But you know what? There's some things that I'm concerned with. I want to throw that on you now. What are you concerned with? I wonder what's on your heart this morning. What are you currently facing? I wonder what are the challenges that are ahead of you or before you or you're right in right now. What are the concerns? I wonder what you need or what you want. I wonder whether you're burnt out or just too busy for God and the things that matter in this life. I wonder if you're currently directionless or lost. Maybe you're currently crippled by fear. You know, just fear got you wrapped up like a boa constrictor. There's something holding you back. So, church, I ask you, what is the greatest challenge or concern that you are currently facing? I want to give you a heads up. At the end of this message, I'm going to ask you that question again. I'm going to ask you, what is the greatest challenge or concern that you are currently facing? I'm going to ask you at the end of the message, gives you an opportunity now just to hone in on one thing. One thing that you're super concerned with or challenged by at the moment. And then at the end of this message, I'm going to ask you to give that concern, that challenge, give it over, entrust it, put your confidence in the Good Shepherd. In a moment, we're going to read about the Good Shepherd, Psalm 23. And today, as we look at this psalm, you know, we constantly need to be reminded of the incredible privilege it is to have God, to have the Father, to have the Son, and to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I'm praying with all my heart that the truth of God's word this morning will encourage you, will give you hope, will refresh your soul, will give you guidance, protection, and remind you of His amazing provision. So Psalm 23, if you've got your Bibles, love you to open them up. If you've got your Bible app, get that out. Because I'm going to help you. You're going to help me read the scripture this morning. Now, little bit of context. This is a psalm written by David, King David. And David wrote this psalm to express his confidence in the Lord's care for him. He wrote it realizing that it was very much like the care of a shepherd and the hospitality of a great host. Two very powerful images. Not only two powerful images, but also two very powerful images personally for him. Because when he was growing up, what was he? He was a shepherd boy. Okay, so he knew all about what it meant to be a shepherd. And then later on, as he became king, one of his regular duties was to host guests around his banquet table in his palace. He knew what it was like. But this time, he was one of the sheep. He's not the shepherd. This time, he's a host, not the host. So the shoe's on the other foot. And I want you to notice that in this psalm, David is not praying. He's not praying in the psalm. He's not asking God to do something for him. Rather, he is rejoicing in what the Lord has done and what the Lord continues to do in his life. May that be what you experience as we read the scriptures this morning. You know, it's been said that Psalm 23 is a psalm of tremendous privilege. Tremendous privilege. I hope you grab a hold of that this morning. Let's take a walk through this psalm. Let's be reminded of this privilege. The privilege that it is to be known by God and to know God. So Psalm 23, it's a psalm of David. Thanks, Nate. If you could put that up for me. Can we read this? Try and read this together? So let's do this. Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. You know, it's interesting, God here is being referred to as shepherd. And if you do a little bit of digging, you'll see that way back in Genesis, he's referred to as a shepherd. God is a shepherd. Genesis 49:24. Check it out if you want to check me out on that. And then you jump to the second testament, John 10, verse 11, it says this. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. What a great verse. You know, Jesus is the good shepherd. He purchased us. He purchased us, his sheep, at a price. And guess what that price was? The price was his death on a cross. And the reality is that because of our sin, we were destined for the slaughterhouse. But Jesus, the good shepherd, he stepped in and through his death, he provided a way for us to be in relationship with the Father. And not only provide a way for us to be in relationship with the Father, but also it opens up for us everything else that comes in knowing the Father. And we're going to look at some of that now as we work our way through this psalm. All the privileges. And you know, as believers, we can't help but just put in between the Lord and is. We put the word Jesus in there. The Lord Jesus is my shepherd. We can't help but do that. The Lord Jesus is my shepherd. The Lord Jesus now lovingly and tenderly cares for his sheep, as is described in this psalm. The psalm continues when David says, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I don't need a thing. I have everything. With the Lord as his shepherd, David knew no want or lack. His needs were being met by his shepherd. And I'm certain that I'm most certain that he did not receive everything that he was desiring. It's not about that. But he had everything. He had everything. Let's move on. Verse 2. Please read with me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Oh, just let those words flow over you. How good are those words? Truth is, the Good Shepherd provides refreshment. He offers refreshment to our souls. And heaven knows we need it in this busy, this super exhausting life. I don't know about you, but I need it. I need to drink in those streams of living water. So I wonder, what's your green pasture and what's your quiet waters? What are they going to look like? What are they going to look like for this year in 2016? If Jesus is your shepherd, will you submit to the shepherd's leading? Will you humbly and intentionally put some things in place this year? Things that are going to cause you to slow down and to hear the voice of the Father. Maybe it's time. You've been sitting there and you're thinking, you know what, you are never going to get me on one of those spiritual retreats. Never say never. Maybe this year is the year when you're going on when you decide to intentionally get on a spiritual retreat. Or maybe intentionally decide to eat from the green pasture of God's Word. We need to be intentional, church. He will lead you, but we need to submit, we need to receive. Let's move on. Let's read 3b. He says, He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. You know, we often wrestle with the question whether we're finding the Lord's will for our lives. I know that because I've had some conversations with some of you about that. As a youth pastor for 17 years, it was kind of probably up there in one of my top 10 conversations with young people. It's kind of like, I don't know what to do. I don't know, well, what is God's will? You know, I look at this person and they've decided this and they're successful and this is happening for them and God showed up for them. Why isn't He doing that for me? I've had that conversation many times. But I want you to hear this. The truth out of this scripture this morning is that the Lord has promised to lead us. The Lord has promised to lead you. Amen? If this is true, and I'll assume that you believe this, then why do we spend so much time just trying to figure it out? When we're trying to figure it out, we're immobilized and we're not moving. Trying to get direction for our lives. And can I encourage you, instead of spending heaps of energy on trying to figure it out, I believe this psalm is encouraging us to instead spend time walking closer with Him. You've heard me preach on that before. Walk close with Him. It's time to stop comparing our lives with other people's lives. It's time for us to stop saying, well, why can't I have what they've got? Or why are they so successful? It's time to stop comparing. And it's time for us to get close to the shepherd. You know, there's a smart guy. He said this. He said, our problem is not really one of guidance. it's really all about closeness. It's one of closeness. Closeness to God. He will lead you. He will lead you. You know, it's interesting at the end of that verse, it says there, for His name's sake. And I think something that we can often do is that we want to find God's will so that we can become successful and say, hey, look at me, look how good I am. But you know what? It's not about me getting a good name. Whose sake is it for? It's His sake. It's for His sake. He guides me along the right paths. Not for me to be a hero, but for His name's sake. We need to move on. Verse 4. Please read with me, nice and loud. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Oh, I just wish we had the space just to allow those words just to sink in. Beautiful words, hey? Even though I am currently going through some tough stuff, even though I am going to go through tough stuff, you know, the reality is that bad things happen to good people, right? We're not immune from the things that happen in our fallen world. Even though I'm going to experience pain and loss, I have nothing to fear. Why? Because He is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, the shepherd's care here is symbolized by the rod and the staff. The shepherd carried these implements. And I want you to notice kind of the shapes. One of them looks like an axe. And that's for a reason. Because you could get that one and you could fend off and smash whatever you needed to smash in order to protect your sheep. Does that make sense? That looks like a fairly good clubber, right? And then the other one, kind of the crook, the more traditional shepherd's crook. You know, a sheep, the imagery of a sheep on the edge of a cliff, the shepherd could just reach down, put that crook around their neck, and then lift them back up to safety. The staff and the rod, beautiful symbols of God's care and God's protection. You know, I was thinking during the week, have you ever wondered about all of the stuff that God has protected you from that you don't even know about? Do you get what I mean when I say that? We're so focused on the physical and what's happening right now that I think we forget. We forget about God's care and we forget about His protection. And you know what? That comforts us. That can comfort you. He cares for you. He makes me lie down. He leads. He restores. He guides. He protects. He comforts. And He cares. And then David's response to all of this is what? I will fear no evil. That confidence, church, can be ours too. Not through anything that we can do, not through anything that we can put in place, but because of everything that He has done. We've got to move on. We're running out of time. Please stay with me. Please don't look at your watch. Even though I just mentioned it, you're probably going to. I want us to move from outside to inside. I want us to move from the plains, the dusty plains into the palace. Let's do that. Come with me. We're not only His sheep, but we're also His guests. Because we are His friends. It says in John 15, you can read it there. It says, you are my friend. You're no longer a servant, but a friend. Think on that for a moment. Friend. We are friends with the Creator of this universe. What an amazing privilege. And that privilege is described in verse 5. Read with me nice and loud. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You know, there's nothing like, I reckon there's nothing like, I mean, maybe that's a bit over the top, but there's nothing like attending a fantastic meal or a dinner party or a banquet, from a great barbecue at a mate's place to that first meal of a newly married couple. You know those receptions? Receptions are great, aren't they? You go there, the food is spectacular, the drinks are flowing in moderation, and then it's free. I mean, how good is that? I love going to receptions. Great food, great drinks, great vibes, and there's friendship. There's always a lot of love in the building. And you know it was a great night. You know it was a great reception or a great barbecue or a great banquet because you get in your car and you look over to your wife, in my case, Leanne, and you know what? We go, that was a great night. That was a really good night. That was fun. So, what does that mean? Well, it was customary in those days to receive a guest by anointing him with a fragrant perfume and with a cup filled with choice wine. So, you know, here's a cup. You walk in the door. They get out their bottle of jupe and then they just sort of spray it all out. No, they don't do that. They have some, I guess it's to do with getting everyone clean and getting them ready for the meal. And then you're handed a cup of the choicest wine. And you know what that said to the guest? That says to the guest, you know what? You are my friend and only the best for you. Only the best for you. And here David declares that God's care surpasses even that. His head has been anointed. His cup wasn't filled up to, you know, the tides out halfway through. His cup is overflowing. Such care and blessing compelled David to say this. He said in verse 6, this is the last verse, read with me. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's amazing. It's amazing how in the presence of God, and I'm sure that you've all experienced this to some degree, it's amazing that when we're in the presence of God, our cups overflow. And as a guest at His banquet table, we forget our troubles and our tears are wiped away. And not only that, He not only meets our needs right here, right now, but He also gives us a taste. He gives us a foretaste of what is to be ours forevermore. For what is to be ours forever in eternity. I don't know about you, but that, I get excited about that. It's awesome. All right, so what? We need to land this really quickly because you're not looking at your watches. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord Jesus is my shepherd. Is He? Is He? Is the Lord Jesus really the shepherd of your soul? I wonder, can you say that this morning? I wonder, do you believe that? Well, maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, you know what, I want that. I want Jesus as the shepherd of my soul. I want to get around that table, that banquet table in that palace. You know, church, remember at the start of this message, I gave you a little assignment, right? It's up there on the big screen. I asked you, what is the greatest challenge? Or what is the greatest concern that you are currently facing? And then remember I said to you that I was going to ask you to take that challenge, to take that concern and give it to the Good Shepherd. To put your confidence in the one who wants to lead you, who wants to guide you, who wants to refresh you, who wants to protect you, wants to care for you, wants to comfort you, who loves you and also provide for you. Put your confidence in the Good Shepherd and the host of all hosts to confidently move forward, to break free from that snake that is just holding you back from becoming all that God wants you to be. Holding you back from experiencing the incredible love and the incredible care of the shepherd. And experiencing the incredible blessing of being seated at God's banquet table. You know, church, we are a people of incredible privilege. And we need to believe it. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to appropriate that in our lives. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. And what I'd love you to do, what I'd love us to do, is just to allow the Spirit of God to move. We welcome the Holy Spirit here, right? We're going to ask the Spirit of God to move. And I'm going to play this fantastic worship song. One of my favorites at the moment. It's a worship song, I believe, that was written with Psalm 23 in mind. The words are going to come up. If you want to sing along to those words, you sing it out. If you want to get your hands in the air, you get your hands in the air. If you want to get on your knees, you get on your knees. And I want this song to help us respond and to help you trust the Good Shepherd with the things that you are facing. Now, just a little word. If Jesus is not currently your shepherd, just quickly, and you want him to be, can I encourage you, just simply ask him. Ask him to become the shepherd of your soul. All you need to do is just say, Jesus, I want you to be the shepherd of my soul. And if you pray that during these next few moments, can I ask you to come and see me after the service? Come and see one of our leaders who are going to be up here ready to pray for us after the service finishes. Come and connect, because we want to get you a Bible. We want to get you some resources so that you can start your journey in getting to know the Good Shepherd. So let's stand. Let's kneel. Let's worship. Let's sing. Let's put our confidence in the Good Shepherd. Let's get in the river together now. Amen.